There's a lot of substitutes for the real thing. And it might seem like it works for a while, but then it's going to break down. And whoever thought this idea of, rather than build something that lasts, make a cheap knockoff because you can do it faster and cheaper and then sell the warranty with it too, they can make money on both sides of that deal. What's up with that? The next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what it looks like and what it means to walk out a true, authentic Christian faith. Not the cheap knockoff, not the easy path, but what's the real deal according to Scripture? What does it look like in the examples of Jesus and in the examples of maybe some of those folks that have walked it out in tough times before us that we can take some encouragement from? It's going to be a time where we ask ourselves some probing questions, hopefully, some hard questions perhaps. Maybe a better word is challenging questions. But without challenge, without taking a real good hard look at things sometimes, we can sort of float along and allow ourselves to miss opportunities for growth where the Holy Spirit is drawing us and calling us. We can stay busy in life and just do it the way we've done it for so long and let it float past us and miss the opportunity. We're going to look at, after having a true conversion, what is the key to walking out and living an authentic faith, and what does effective formation and discipleship looks like? This is where, for far too long in North America, the church has kind of been weak for the last 50 to 100 years. Too often we have these events and these rallies and these prayer meetings and such where the number of decisions for Christ is elevated way up here. And I'm not saying decisions for Christ aren't important. They're very important because we all have to come to that place where we decide that we see our sin and we recognize our need for a Savior. But then what happens after that is really important. And we haven't always done the best job with the follow-up, with instruction in faith and righteousness, with that whole renewing of the heart and the mind that we read about in Holy Scripture that's done by the Holy Spirit as we walk out our faith. Sometimes this reminds us of the parable of the sower. Remember the seed falling on rocky ground or falling on the path or falling among thorns? It's the truth springs up in our hearts, but then something happens and it withers. And how many of those decisions that are made in that emotive moment are decisions that propel us forward into action in our faith? There's an invitation in Scripture today to examine our faith and to repent and believe the gospel. We're going to look at the gospel lesson today primarily. You've got this scene of Jesus and the chief priests and the elders. This is not very long before Jesus is killed. This is right before he has his last week, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and such. And, they're fed up with him. He has been challenging them left and right. And it's not out of anger and hatred that Jesus is challenging the religious leaders. He's calling them to repent. He's calling them. He's saying, the kingdom of God is right in front of you. You're missing it, guys. What are you doing? And then he goes as far as to say that the tax collectors and the whores are going into the kingdom of heaven before they are. I mean, that should have been a really interesting cold bucket of water that maybe caused them to wake up, but instead it angered them and it just infuriated them even more. It was a challenge and affront. And before we get too judgmental about the chief priests and the elders, is there any aspect of this challenge that Jesus offers them that we should sit up and pay attention to in our own lives and in our own hearts? I almost feel bad for them because again and again in the Gospels, they are poked and prodded by Jesus, but he's calling them out. He's saying, come on, it's right here. Look around. Look what's happening. He challenges them to examine whether they have a true faith or if it's this shell of something that looks like faith but is actually missing the heart of the gospel. And it's important for us to ask ourselves the same question. We're challenging the epistle lesson today. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This doesn't mean make up your own system for salvation. Plenty of people in the world are doing that. quite often when I have a conversation with somebody about the faith, they'll say, well, here's the way I see it, Pastor. They'll say, that's great. Did you know there's the way God sees it? We should look at that too, probably, and see if his truth will enlighten our hearts and speak to us. Working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, paying attention to the word of truth, looking at the gospel, checking out our belief system against what God has to say. The truth is here. It's in front of us. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to reveal this to us. Eternity is at stake as well as kingdom life here in the present. You know, almost every single interaction that Jesus had with people contained an invitation and a challenge. You've heard me say it before, probably. Invitation and challenge. And this is no different. You know, Jesus has been inviting the chief priests and the elders. They're watching. They're seeing what's happening. And occasionally he poses an invitation to them. And then there's a challenge, you know. In this case, his challenge comes in the form of a pretty hard word that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of heaven before they do. It's a challenge. He's saying, you got to look at what's going on here. Look at your life. Look at the account of the woman at the well. There's an invitation from Jesus and a challenge there. When he calls his first disciples in the book of Mark in chapter 1, there's an invitation and a challenge. I want to look at that with you today just briefly. If you have your Bible and you want to turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 15, we're going to take a quick peek there. I cheated. I have mine already there. Starting at verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. So there's three key things there that are going to keep popping up for us as we go forward in the next several weeks. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. So there's the kingdom of God breaking in to our lives, wherever we are at, whatever we are doing, whatever we're thinking, whatever's happening in our lives this day. The kingdom of God breaks in, and then we are called to repent and believe the gospel. This is how we engage in more effective discipleship. You know, this is the process by which we grow closer to the Lord. We learn more about him. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is always calling us to repent and believe, right? There's the initial repentance and belief when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. But then after that, the renewing of our hearts and minds, there's a lifestyle of repentance and believing, a lifestyle of recognizing something because the Lord's revealed it to us in our lives that needs to go. And then believing and walking out our belief by changing our actions, changing what we're doing through the strength of the Lord in our lives. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. You think about that idea that the kingdom of God has come near. Has anybody ever had one of those quote-unquote mountaintop experiences in your faith? You come away, you're all fired up. You're all pumped. It's like, this is going to be awesome. I can't believe this just happened. Wow, God is real. I had the tingles, and it was amazing. And then 2 weeks later, we say, where did that go? I'm back in my same old ruts again. That stuff that I thought I had dealt with and repented of, that God was asking me to let go of, is back in my life, and it's even stronger now, and I don't know what happened. You know, or maybe instead of it being a high moment, a mountaintop experience in our lives, we walk through the lowest of lows. We have this really low valley. You know, that can be a time where the kingdom of God is breaking into our lives too. It's not just the times on the mountaintop where we're like, wow, look what God did. Where it's when we feel the farthest from God sometimes too, is when he is trying to break into our lives. It's pretty uncomfortable. Nobody really wants to, if they're honest with themselves, walk through those valley times. But How many times do we walk through those valleys, we get to the other side and we say, ooh, thank God that's over. I don't ever want to go through that again. And then 2 weeks later, we're back into our original rhythm of life. Nothing has changed. Nothing is different. How many times do we need to go through these cycles? There's a Greek word for God's time in Holy Scripture, and it's kairos. It's more of an all-encompassing, non-lineal form of time, because God is eternal, right? So we're the ones that are stuck in this timeline. Just ask your knees and your back. right? I know, right? Oh, I made it up and down Mount Escutney yesterday. I'm feeling it today. But you be going along about your day and something happens. And either it's something really, really positive, or maybe it's something really, really negative, and you're forced to have this reaction to it. That's a kairos moment where God is breaking into your life and into your timeline of that day. And then we have the choice to repent and believe the gospel, or to let that moment just pass us by and we miss the opportunity for growth. We miss that chance to take some time out, step out of our own timeline, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. This is what Jesus was challenging the chief priests and the elders to do at this time. He was in their face. You know, as some like to say, he was all up in their grill, right? And he was trying to say, look at what's happening. Repent and believe the gospel. It's right in front of you. But they weren't. They were stuck. They were continuing in that direction. They were doing what they were doing. And eventually they had a hand in putting Jesus to death. So as we look at what it means to have deepening faith and more effective discipleship in our lives, we're going to be asking ourselves these questions about where has the kingdom of God come near to me? Was I able to respond by repenting and believing the gospel? I'm going to ask Noah and Karis to hand out a little thing to you this morning. They're going to come around with it. You already got it. Okay, great. Good deal. They did it well. I wasn't even watching. I missed it. This is not my graphic, but I find it really helpful. It comes from a book called Building a Discipling Culture. And on the top here, you've got our time, right? The line going from left to right. And then the X is the kairos moment. That's where God breaks in. And then we have the opportunity to derail ourselves from our time and repent and believe the gospel. I don't normally hand out these things, you know that, but I thought it would be helpful to be able to take a look at it and maybe even to remind ourselves as we go about our weeks in the next several, as we look at this together. So on the repent side, it's not just, oh Lord, I'm sorry I did that, oh Lord, I can't believe that just happened. We've got to look at what just happened in our lives. Why are we either feeling really excited about God, or why are we feeling like we've just been challenged by Jesus the way that the chief priests and the elders were here in Scripture? You know, why did something interrupt us? What is God doing? What is he saying? So we observe, right? Then reflect. What did this mean? How did it make me feel? Why did it make me feel that way? Why do I feel challenged about getting rid of this particular thing in my life? Is it because maybe it's taken the place of Christ on the throne of my heart? You know, maybe there's something with how we're spending our time, where we're spending too much time in one area and not enough time with the Lord, and he's going to challenge us on it. You know, we don't want to let that sweet voice of the Spirit just be dismissed because we're uncomfortable by what it says, or because we're too busy to stop, reflect, and listen. We want to take that moment, if we want to deepen in our faith and in our walk with the Lord, to unpack it and see what the Lord is saying to us. We want to discuss that. We want to maybe talk about it with somebody else. Talk about it with your spouse. Talk about it with a friend. Say, this happened to me this week. You know, as we walk through our days and weeks ahead, we want to be living life with an eye towards the Lord and the ear towards the voice of the Holy Spirit leading us and drawing us. Some other questions we can ask in this repent process is, what do you think God is saying about himself to you? So often we have these ideas of God, You know, sometimes if you ask a young kid to draw a picture of God, you'll get some old guy with a big white beard. What is your view of God? Is God an unrelenting taskmaster? Is he a loving father? What is he? Maybe it's something different from either of those things. Another question to ask is, what is God saying about you? Because the Lord knows you specifically. He knows your heart individually. The dark parts and the lighter parts. The deep parts, the shallow parts. The parts that he's been able to penetrate and the parts that you're still hiding from him. The Lord knows. And what is God saying about your relationship with him? Come further in. Come higher up. I want to teach you. I love you. I want you to walk closer with me in day-to-day life. It's really important to look at these questions when something happens in our life, whether it's a mountaintop or a valley or just something in between, to stop and listen, to observe, reflect, and discuss. And then on the other side of believing, it's not just an assent like, okay, God, I believe, thanks. Like, that's not going to last longer than going to lunchtime. Right? We need to have a plan. What if God reveals some sin in your life that he wants to deliver you from and take that burden off? Okay, that's great. You repent of it. Where do you go from there? It's good to have a plan. It's good to have some accountability. Maybe talk to somebody and say, I've really been struggling with this. You know, in James it says, repent your sins one to another that you may be healed. Repentance is really important. Confessing your sin one to another is important. It's obviously the transaction takes place with Almighty God. But bearing one another's burdens as we walk through life is key, and it is a spiritual truth that we must do that if we're really to step into what God is calling us to. And then, of course, there's action, right? There's acting on things. There's having a plan. There's getting the accountability. Then there's taking the step of faith. You know, maybe you have an addiction in your life and you need to get rid of that. And you know the Lord has been speaking to you about it for a very long time. But every time you say, okay, Lord, at some short time later, you're back into it. Maybe that's because there hasn't been accountability, a plan, and some action. You know, this is where, if you've shared with somebody else and discussed it, that person can text you during the week or call you up and say, hey, it's Wednesday. We're halfway through. How's it going? How's it going with that thing you talked to me about? I've been praying for you. By the way, could you please pray for me about this? You know, last few weeks we've talked a lot about living a passionate life in the faith and how it's impossible to do it as just an individual. You really need to be walking it out with others. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at true conversion, false conversion, meaningful discipleship. We're going to ask some challenging questions with an eye towards the truth and towards deepening faith and discipleship in our lives. We're going to look at what Scripture has to say about it and then intentionally applying it in our own lives as individuals, and then also within the context of others. Whether that be with someone that you talk to during the week or if you're going to participate in one of our small groups, we're going to be looking at all of this. So I'm inviting you on a journey to enter a season in life of what could be intense spiritual growth and challenge as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak and minister to us. And I'm going to leave you with this question today. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? In the name of Christ. Amen. Let's stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.